We're taking a behind-the-scenes look at the invisible world, a very real, a very powerful world. You know, we are not human beings living in a spiritual world. We are spiritual beings living in a human world. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings created by God, eternal, having a human experience. And behind the scenes, there is an invisible life, an invisible world in which we are all engaged. And it is a critical understanding of this world that our faith, our families, our very future are at stake. That's why the scripture tells us that we in these last days are to put away the darkness and put on the armor of light. We're to shake off the lethargy and the apathy and push back the darkness by engaging in spiritual warfare. But we dare not fight alone. We must fight in the Lord because the battle is the Lord's. And we dare not fight without the equipment, the armor that is needed to defeat the enemy, if we're going to win this good fight of faith. Now, we must all be in the battle. It's not enough to show up at church and be an audience. God has called us to be a mighty army. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, would not allow the great hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, to be sung at any of his revival or evangelistic crusades because he said, can you imagine anything less like an army than the church? It's a sad indictment upon many of us. But God has called us to battle. So in one sense, this message today is a call to arms. It is a battle cry. It is a winnable war. But we must prepare a divine defense. And that divine defense is seen in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. These are demon spirits. Against this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Heavenly places is not descriptive of heaven, the throne of God, but rather the invisible spaces, the heavenly places around us, all around us. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, all the panoply of God. Every piece put on with prayer that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That is this day. These days are critical, and yes, they are evil. That you may be able to stand in that evil day and having done all to stand firm. Again and again, we're told in this passage of Scripture to stand, to stand, to stand, to withstand against the works and the wickedness of the devil and his demonic powers and forces. But to stand is not to stand still, but it is to stand strong. It is to stand in resistance. Just as a linebacker on a football team would take the proper stance and be prepared for action to defend the territory, we are to resist the devil. We are to stand against the enemy. We are to take this strong stand. And even when we don't understand, and there are many things about this spiritual war, about the enemy himself, the mysteries of iniquity that we don't understand. But while we don't understand, we are to withstand, knowing that Satan himself is moving across this world. And we are to have spiritual weapons in order to defend ourselves and to defend our families and defend our future. This divine defense is described as the armor of God. The Bible says we're to take up the armor of God or put on. Do you see it there? Put on. This is something you do. This is not what God does for us. It's what we do in taking up the armor. There are six pieces all protecting us as we stand. And each one provides us strength in order to stand. We are to not pick a piece here and there, put on a helmet, but not the breastplate of righteousness. No, we're to put on the entire armor of God, all of it. There's no place, no position in our lives that must be unguarded. We are to be fully armed. If I go to battle, I don't want to go to battle with a butter knife against an AK-47. I want the whole armor of God. And this armor is not for style and profile, but it is for protection. It also covers only the front of the soldier. In fact, we have a photo, a picture of a Roman soldier. Remember, Paul, in writing the book of Ephesians, was in prison. And so he would have been looking at a Roman soldier, chained to a soldier almost hourly. And while a soldier would not have been in full battle garb, he began to think under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of what a soldier appeared to be and how that applies as a metaphor, as a illustration of the Christian life, this battle. And you can see this soldier standing strong, decked out strongly in the armor. So we also have a spiritual armor, and each piece is essential. We're going to take each piece. I would encourage you to take notes, to write these down, to write in the margins of your Bible, and let's together put on the armor of God that we may fight the good fight of faith and win. Number one, he says, verse 14, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, the belt in a soldier's garb obviously fitted around the midsection. It held everything together, the pieces of the armor, including the breastplate of the Roman soldier. It held that together. The belt also contained weapons for warfare, as in the soldier's sword would be hung on that belt and other implements of war and of fighting. Also, the soldier would often wear a long tunic. And so when the soldier needed to go to battle and fight, he didn't want to be running in a dress. And so he would gather up the tunic and gird it up in that belt, cinch it up in that belt, as it were, tightening the belt. And so that's the picture that we have here as we engage in this spiritual warfare. We are to first put on this belt of truth, because this belt of truth holds everything together. The belt of truth is the believer's integrity, because we are protected against deception. We stand against deception, the believer's integrity. If you're not supported with truth, you will lose in life. The belt of truth supports the core of who you are and what you believe. Truth, absolute truth, biblical truth, God's truth. Satan attacks with lies and errors and deception. We often live with secrets, but God says we are to live with truth. Get the truth straight, because if you don't have your belt tightened with truth, the inner core tightened, the inner you of you strengthened, then everything else is going to fall apart. Everything hangs on the truth of God's word. Maybe if you're working with a trainer, weight training or physical training, you've heard your trainer talk about your core, getting your core stronger, right? You know, I walk around with some mild back pain constantly. It's not bad, it's just a little mild back pain. It'd go away if I'd quit playing golf, probably. But really, my back is not my problem. I don't have a back problem. I got a front problem. And if you want to help your back, you strengthen your core, right? And so in this spiritual battle, strengthen your core. That includes standing for truth, before your friends. Remember, it's our goal to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God. And so we stand for truth before our friends, before our family. And we preach the truth, God's truth, to ourselves. This is a crazy, violent, insane world in many ways. Demon powers are on the loose. I would be personally frightened. I would be frightened for my family. I would be frightened for my grandchildren and their future were it not for what I know. The truth of God. It is what I know that strengthens me in the inner person, in the inner man. So this is why I preach the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, to myself. I preach it every day because we stand in this truth. Don't go to battle without your belt on. You'll lose your pants and you might just lose your life. The second thing is, we are to put on, verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, obviously, this is critical to a soldier because the breastplate covers the heart, the visceral organs, the vital organs of the body. And therefore, the breastplate is critical to staying alive and winning a battle. Police officers know this. I was just talking to Mike Gurley, who is a Dallas police officer for many years. He says he never puts on his uniform without putting on his vest. So we are to put on this breastplate, which represents the believer's purity as we stand against defilement. Protects us against defilement. The breastplate of righteousness. What is this righteousness? We are righteous in Christ. This is not self-righteousness. This is not striving. Our weapons are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So we stand not in our own strength, but we stand in the strength that is Christ, the righteousness that is in Christ. But what Paul is talking about here, what the Bible is telling us here, is to apply this righteousness. Just as you put on the armor, you're to put on and apply the righteousness that is in Christ. In other words, to live in purity, to live in devotion, to live in godliness, to live the right way. It's right living. Guard your heart, the Bible says, for out of it flow the issues of life. So we put on purity and we ask God to protect us from the defilement. Satan is a dirty, filthy animal. And sin is a violent, seductive power. And the devil only needs a little crack to get in. Who is that that knocks so loud? The answer came, just a little sin. So I opened the door, and soon all hell was in. Don't give the devil a way in. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Nobody started out to be an addict. For some, it was just the click of a mouse on your computer. And now all hell is in. For some, it was just a little flirtation. Now all hell is in. For some, it was just a little anxiety. And now with fearful force, the bondage has taken over. I'm telling you, we're in a battle. Get dressed up every day. There's more to life than what we see. Beyond the physical world, there's an entire spiritual realm that surrounds us. Subconsciously, we know it. We feel it. Whether we think about it or whether we ignore it altogether, there really is a supernatural world out there. It is part of the invisible world that God has created. Invisible does not mean irrelevant or unimportant. To the contrary, some of the most important dynamics of our lives take place in the supernatural. After all, we're not human beings living in a spiritual world. We are spiritual, eternal beings living in a physical world. There are questions, real questions about the world out there beyond us that we really want to know. What is the answer? That's why I want to help equip you by sending you the CD series Invisible. This revealing 10 message series will open a window of understanding into the unseen realities of angels, demons, heaven, hell, and other spiritual forces that are invisible yet affect us every single day. You really need to get this series because getting a glimpse of the invisible, the unseen world, will forever change your perspective on how you live in this world and yet live in the spiritual world. It will change your life. There's not only the belt of truth, which is the believer's integrity, holds everything together. Not only the breastplate of righteousness, which is the believer's purity, protecting us against defilement. But then, notice verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, a Roman soldier had to take care of his feet. There were mountains to climb. There was territory to take. There were obstacles to overcome. It was a kind of guerrilla warfare, hand-to-hand combat. And so your shoes, your feet had to be in good conditions. Sometimes enemies would prepare booby traps with long pointed sticks that soldiers would step on and pierce their feet and so on. So it's vital that the soldier's feet be in good condition and therefore good shoes. The hobnail boots of a Roman legionnaire or the sandals, they were cleated, if you will. They were strong so that the soldier could take a stand and that the soldier could move forward. The soldier could be hostile and mobile, all right? And shoes were needed to do that. And therefore, this speaks of the believer's stability and protects us against discouragement. The believer's stability, our shoes, strengthen us against discouragement. How many of you are discouraged? Because I have been discouraged at times, and I know that's one of the devil's chief tools. Of all the fiery darts of the enemy, discouragement is one of the most powerful. Can completely take you out and lay you out. Discouraged, despondent, depressed. The darkness takes over. And therefore, we need to stand. Sometimes all you can do is stand up in the power of Christ and hold on in the name of Christ. That's our stability, but we don't go down. We don't go down because our feet are firmly planted in the peace of the gospel. Do you see that there? Your shoes with the readiness of the gospel of peace. This is, of course, the peace with God in knowing that our future is secure, that we have peace with God. We know that there's nothing ultimately the enemy can do to destroy us because we have peace with God. Our peace is made. But it also refers to the peace of God. And that peace of God is in all circumstances. It's not the absence of fearful circumstances or difficult circumstances. That's not peace, but it is the presence of strength and power in the face of our circumstances. That's stability. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. This is our stability and our mobility as we stand in the gospel, as we run with the gospel. But then he speaks again in verse 16, in all circumstances, whatever you face, Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Scary being a Christian at times when those arrows are flying at you. Arrows of anxiety, arrows of lust, arrows of sinful pleasure, arrows of addiction, arrows of fear. You name them. These fiery darts, these missives from hell. But you put up the shield of faith. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't help it if the devil decides to send fiery darts against you, but you can keep from starting a fire. Put up the shield of faith. Put up the shield of faith. And quench the fiery darts of the wickedness. When you believe, and this isn't intellectual faith, this is fighting faith. Same kind of faith that Paul talked about when he was going up against the devil himself. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Hold up the shield of faith. There's one final piece of armor, two actually, we're going to cover next week as we talk about the battle for the mind. But he says, put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we're putting on the helmet of security as we stand against disaster. Because we have a hope in Him, the helmet of salvation. We'll talk about that more next time. I don't know how long it's been since you have read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't, you need to put up all that beach fiction you're reading and read something really good, like Pilgrim's Progress. Students, if you haven't read this great book by John Bunyan, you're not fully educated until you do, in my opinion. Christian is going against the enemy. And he comes against Apollyon, who is the devil himself. Be careful, Apollyon, what you do. I am in the king's highway, the way of holiness, and I am in his service. Therefore, take heed that you do not overstep your bounds. Then Apollyon sprang across the highway in front of Christian and said, I am without fear in this matter. Prepare yourself to die, for I swear by all the infernal powers that you shall go no farther. I will take your soul right here. Then he hurled a flaming dart at Christian's heart. But Christian held out his shield and blocked it. Christian drew his sword and braced himself for battle. Apollyon came at him with the fury of throwing darts as thick as hail. Some stuck above and some below Christian's shield, wounding him painfully in spite of all that he could do to defend himself. Then he fell back a little. Seeing this, Apollyon came on with all his force. Here Christian remembered the effectual prayer and took courage. They fought up and down the highway for over half an hour, and Christian's strength was almost spent from loss of blood and sheer exhaustion. Apollyon perceived that Christian was gradually growing weaker. And taking advantage of this, he took hold of Christian and threw him to the ground. Then Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Now, said Apollyon, I am sure I have you. And he almost beat him to death. But as God would have it, as Apollyon gave his final blows to finish him off, Christian's hand touched his sword, which gave him fresh spirits. He gripped the sword with all his might and said, Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. Giving Apollyon a deadly thrust, which caused him to fall back as if mortally wounded, summoning all of his strength, Christian rose to his feet and advanced toward him, crying, In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this was so much for Apollyon, he spread his wings and flew away. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Put on the armor of God, church. Because when you put on the armor of God, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the armor of light. He is our truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the living God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and having done all, to stand. Because, Christian, the victory is yours if you will fight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, think about this. We are not human beings living in a spiritual world. We are spiritual beings living in a human world. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings created by God eternally, made for His pleasure and for His glory. We are having a human experience. And behind the scenes, there is an invisible world in which we are all engaged. And it's critical, absolutely critical, to understand this invisible world as our faith, our family, and our future are at stake. That's why the scripture tells us that we are to put away the darkness and put on the armor of light. We're to shake off the lethargy and the apathy and push back the darkness by engaging in spiritual battle. But we dare not fight alone. We must fight in the power of the Lord, because the battle is the Lord's. And as we learned in today's message, we dare not fight without equipment. We must put on spiritual armor, the whole armor of God, because this is necessary to defeat the enemy and win this good fight of faith. That's why I want to help equip you by sending you the CD series, Invisible. This revealing 10-message series will open a window of understanding into the unseen realities of angels, demons, heaven, hell, and other spiritual forces that are invisible yet affect us every single day. And we learn how to use this spiritual armor that God has given us. Giving us a glimpse of the invisible world will forever change our perspective on the spiritual realm and your own life, the reality of your life today. This empowering resource is our way to say thank you for your gift today to help more people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through PowerPoint. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for your financial support of PowerPoint. This enables us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teaching of God's word.